Our scriptures from the book of Ruth as we continue, and how appropriate, Joe. Ruth chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, we'll be reading through verse 6. And if you read this scripture in preparation for today, it's a little different, unusual kind of portion of scripture and what God is saying to us through his word this morning. We had seen that Ruth was working in the field of grace where she had been laboring in bringing in gleanings from Boaz's field. She had met him there, and Boaz had showed kindness to her and had instructed his harvesters to allow extra grain to fall for her to pick up. And we had seen how God displayed his grace abundantly to her, and how we had seen last week when we go into the field of grace, our kinsman redeemer overflows his grace to us in our times of need and in the desperate situations that we may be in, as Ruth found herself in as a widow and with no one to support her. Now we get to chapter 3, and Naomi, her mother-in-law, is giving her some instruction on how to, knowing that she would need to be provided for and had met Boaz, and how she can encourage Boaz to take the role of the kinsman redeemer to become her husband. And she's giving her instruction to be kept up in verse 1. The next day, Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you where you will be well provided for? Is not Boaz, with whose servant girls you have been, a kinsman redeemer of ours? Tonight he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash and perfume yourself and put on your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you're there until he has finished eating or drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do." "I will do whatever you say," Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. Here in the reading of God's word, his blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for calling us into relationship with you. We thank you, Lord, that we can pursue intimacy with you, our Savior, our kinsman redeemer. And I pray, Lord, this morning that our heart would be knit closer to you, that we would have a heart's desire to pursue you, to know you more deeply, to know you more passionately. And so through your word this morning, I pray that you would encourage us, that you would challenge us, that you'd refresh us and instruct us as we look to you, our kinsman redeemer, and you, the lover of our soul. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. There have been some unusual wedding proposals over the years, and some people propose in some different ways. Just a couple weeks ago, you may have seen on TV, where these two people were arrested on top of the Empire State Building. And they were on the very top of the antenna of the World Trade Center, and you wonder what was going on. And here, the guy was proposing to her on top of the World Trade Center. She said yes, and then they were arrested. You talk about an unusual wedding proposal. That was one. And I've seen wedding proposals where people have proposed while they're skydiving, in the middle of football games, all kinds of strange ways that people propose. I'm sure, hopefully, Christina was proposed to in a beautiful way. Out on the farm, very touching. On the hill, very nice. This morning, in chapter 3, as we get to Ruth chapter 3, you have a very unusual event. It was a wedding proposal and a very strange way to propose to a wedding. Naomi is giving instruction to her daughter-in-law. She said, after meeting Boaz, she said, he would be a perfect husband for you, and encourage him to take his role as the kinsman redeemer. And so she gives her instruction to wash herself, to go down to the threshing floor where Boaz was, and to lay at his feet and uncover his feet, and he'll tell you what to do. And that seems like really strange. But what this was a proposal of marriage where Ruth was actually taking the initiative and proposing to Boaz and inviting him to take responsibility as the kinsman redeemer over her and to marry her and to provide for her care. The context of the scripture is very vital to understand this passage and what is happening here. And I had to do a lot of study this week to try to figure out what did this mean about her laying at his feet and uncovering his feet, and what did all this mean? And it goes back to the wedding customs of those days. Based on a law of Levirate marriage in Deuteronomy chapter 25, where the scripture had set up that if a woman had a husband and he died and they had no children, then their brother or someone in the family was to marry that person and then marry her so that she would have family line, because the rule, the ancestry and the property rights went through the husband. And so with nobody to have an heir, that someone in the family was to step in and to marry that person and to take that responsibility so that the land would be given and they would be provided for. God set that up so that widows would be cared for because they didn't have anyone else to do it. So it's partly based on that and partly based on the kinsman redeemer law in Leviticus chapter 25, that a close relative, whenever someone died and the family, a close relative, was to take on the role as a redeemer and buy the land and marry the widow so that she can have an inheritance and property. So that was part of what this was based upon. But Naomi told her to go down to the threshing floor and she would find Boaz down there. And this is what the threshing floors looked like in those days. This, remember, it was harvest time and Ruth was out gleaning in the field. And so when they would collect the harvest, they would have a place where they would take it called the threshing floor. And usually it was one that they would use for the whole community. And the people was outside of the village, usually up on top of a hill. And it was a big flat surface where they would put the grain and they would have the oxen and they would come and trample it to separate the chaff from the wheat, the good part from what was the kernels. And they would trample on it, the oxen, it was a community thing that everybody would bring. They'd bring their grain there. Then they would throw it up into the air with a winnowing fork, and all the waste, the chaff, would blow away, and the good grain would fall back down, and then they would collect it. But that's what they would do in the threshing floor, but it was one that they would have for the whole community. So they would often have to wait in line. So Larry, if you were bringing in your harvest, you would have to go to the threshing floor, and you'd have to wait for everybody before you to take care of their grain, and then you would be your turn. So what they would do is they would often sleep there to protect their harvest so that nobody would take it while they're waiting in line to thresh their wheat or their barley in this case. And so that's where Boaz was. And Naomi gave her some instructions on how to go down there. And she's instructed to approach Boaz at the threshing floor where the grain was processed and where the men would sleep the night. And as we look at the scripture this morning, this what unique wedding proposal, we are going to discover some steps God wants us to take in our relationship with Christ as we can seek to pursue an intimate relationship with our kinsman redeemer and our bridegroom, Jesus. Because Jesus is our bridegroom, and as the bride of Christ, we are married to him, right? And we are to seek an intimate relationship with him as our Redeemer. And how do we do that? We can learn from what Ruth does here as she gets ready to propose marriage, how we can deepen our relationship with Jesus in a personal way. First, if we're going to have that intimate relationship, we need to make the proper preparations. Anybody that's going to propose, and I'm sure Christina's fiance made the preparations to prepare. And here's just some pictures I've seen some preparations that people went before they proposed, some really fancy things. I mean, I made some preparations, but not quite this fancy. And we look at how some of these things that people went to do to prepare before they would ask the question. It was quite things to do. And whenever I was getting ready to engage to Kim, proposed to Kim, I made some preparations too. And I asked her dad, and I made preparations of where we were going to go and what we're going to do. And I kind of had a plan in mind. And so Ruth here made preparations as Naomi instructed her. And she said, as you're getting ready to go down to engage with Boaz, this is what you need to do. Prepare yourself. As we're getting ready to go into a relationship with Jesus and we want to know him better, there's preparations we need to make. And as we come to church every Sunday or and we go into our relationship with him in private, when we're at home reading his word, we need to come before him in a proper way as we prepare ourselves to meet with our Savior. And the first is to wash up. She says, first wash yourself. Now, she was working in the field, so she said, go and wash. And you say, what's that mean? Well, it means cleansing ourselves. It means making sure when we come into the presence of the Lord that we have dealt with the sin in our life, that we'd ask the Lord, is there anything in my heart, in my life, that's getting in the way between us and him? Because make us not be saved anymore, but sin can hurt our intimacy with Jesus. And when we allow sin to be in our life, and we all fall into sin. And if we don't deal with it, it's going to affect our relationship, our nearness, our intimacy with Jesus. And so the first is to deal with that. In Psalm chapter 24, verses 3 and 4, David writing and asked this question. He says, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Who can come into the presence of our holy God? And the answer is, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. So he says, as we come into the presence of the Lord, we need to have clean hands and a pure heart, wash ourselves and ask the Lord as we come and you come into prayer, when you open up his word at home, when you're having your time of intimacy with Jesus, say, Lord, is there anything in my life that's standing between me and you that I need to deal with? Is there something that I said to somebody that I shouldn't have said that I need to make right? Is there anger that I didn't deal with? Is there unforgiveness? Is there a sin that I haven't asked you to forgive me for? But washing ourselves, because that can affect our relationship with Jesus, our intimacy. And sometimes we may not feel close to Jesus as we once were. And it's not that Jesus forsook us. It's that we've allowed sin to go unchecked in our life. And it's affected us. So we need to wash up. In Psalm 119, verses 139, verses 23 and 24, the psalmist there prays, search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And as we come into the presence of the Lord, Lord, is there anything in my life? Search my heart and reveal it to me so that I can make it right. I can ask you to cleanse me and have the intimacy again. In Psalm 51, verses 1 to 2, David had sinned against the Lord, where he had committed adultery with Bathsheba. You know the story. And then he committed murder to have her husband killed to try to cover up the sin. And for a year, he lived with that and let that undergo. And he couldn't understand why he didn't feel as close to the Lord as he once did. And he tried to cover that sin over and not deal with it and try to go on with his normal life. But it affected his relationship. And finally, God sent the prophet Nathan and said, told him the story. No, you are the man. He confessed. He confronted him with it. And then he confessed that sin. And Psalm 51 is his prayer of confession, where he says in verses 1 and 2, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. And he goes on to verse 7, cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness and let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my iniquity and blot out my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Don't cast me away from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. So if we want to have an intimate relationship with our Lord as we pursue him, our bridegroom, our kinsman redeemer, we need to wash ourselves, wash up whatever is standing in the way of us in him and ask him to forgive us of that. in Psalm 32, verses 1 to 5. That's David's, after he had prayed his prayer of confession, he had rejoiced in how God had forgiven him. And he said, "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man the Lord does not count against him the sin. The Lord does not count against him anymore. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. But then I acknowledged my sin to you. It did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me of my sin." The joy that comes and the intimacy restored when we ask the Lord to forgive us of those sins that we commit in our life that we all fall into. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And in Romans 19, verses 6 through 8, we have a picture of when the Lord is returning for his bride. And it's a picture of what is yet to appear, the day that Jesus is going to come back again. And he's going to reign on this earth. And its scripture says, "I heard what sounded like a great multitude and the roar of the rushing waters and the loud peals of thunder shouting, 'Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come.'" And we're looking forward to that day. The wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready with fine linen, bright clothes, and clean were given her to wear. That cleansing through the blood of Christ that brings us into an intimate relationship with Jesus. So the first thing we need to do in our preparations is wash up. Is there anything in your life that is affecting your relationship between you or someone else that needs to be dealt with and be forgiven of so that that intimacy can be restored? The second part of the preparations, she's instructed to smell good. Back in Ruth, we see that she's told, wash up and perfume yourself. Put on perfume. Put on good smelling stuff so that you'll be attractive. A pleasing aroma. A fragrance. Cologne. Put on cologne that would be attractive to Boaz. A beautiful fragrance. And as we're seeking to draw closer to Christ, it's that intimacy of that pleasing aroma, living our life, which is a pleasing aroma and fragrance to him. Giving off the fragrance of Jesus that is attractive to others. That when people are around you, they smell the beauty and the fragrance of Jesus coming out of your life and attracts other people to him. And it's attractive, that fragrance. What kind of fragrance are we emulating? Turn with me to a book we hardly ever go to, and that is the Song of Solomon. We hardly ever turn to that book, but Song of Solomon chapter 1, verse 3, Solomon is writing about the fragrance of the pleasing of the bridegroom, and really it's a picture here of the relationship of marriage between Solomon and one of his wives and their desire for each other. And ultimately, the bridegroom represents Jesus ultimately in this story, in this poem. But in chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like perfume poured out. No wonder the maidens love you." And we're thinking about Jesus. His fragrance is beautiful and attractive. And that's why, I mean, he's attractive, his beauty. And in chapter verse 12 of the same chapter, it says, "When the king was at his table, my fragrance spread its presence." And the fragrance and the beauty of Jesus. In John chapter 12, verse 3, we have this, the account of when Jesus was in having a meal in a house, and Mary came in, and she washed his feet with her hair, and she had expensive perfume. And it said that was worth a month's wages, and she took that perfume, a year's wages, it said, and she broke it and anointed his feet with her hair, with the perfume. and dried it with her hair. And John says the entire house was filled with that fragrance and the beauty and the fragrance that it gave out. It became attractive to others. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 to 16, Paul says that you and I are the fragrance of Jesus. That we're to live our life as a pleasing aroma, that people see the beauty and fragrance, aroma of Christ being reflected and lived out through us. So we need to wash up, deal with that sin in our life, smell good, emulate the beauty and the fragrance of Jesus, that people see that and are attracted to him. And third is to dress appropriately. He tells her again in verse 3, Naomi says, wash, perfume yourself, and put on your best clothes. You want to make a good impression. You're going to go to Boaz. You're looking for a husband. Put on the best clothes you have. Ruth was instructed to put on her best. She had first had clothes of mourning. She was wearing clothes of mourning when she came to Bethlehem. Then she went out into the field and she was gleaning. She had her work clothes on. But she was instructed here to put on her best, her Sunday best, what she had. Whenever I went and was going to be engaged to Kim, and the night I had everything planned, I put on a suit and I put on some of my best clothes, and she dressed up and I told her to dress up for where we were going. Put on my best because I wanted to look good, to make a good impression. And we're instructed to put on, to dress appropriately in our relationship with Christ. You say, well, what is that? Well, Matthew chapter 2, verses 8 to 13, Jesus tells a story about the wedding banquet. And that there was a wedding banquet, and they were called in the final day to have to join in the wedding banquet of the Lamb. And it said the bridegroom looked around and he saw some people and a man in there without the proper clothing and the proper attire on. And said, take him out of the banquet because he doesn't have the proper wedding garments on. What were the wedding garments? But the garments of righteousness, the garments of Christ's righteousness. And dressing ourselves in his righteousness. And that we, because our righteousness is as filthy rags. And in Ephesians and Colossians, we see Paul telling us that, of what it means to put on those clothes. And in Colossians chapter 4 and 3, verses 12 to 14, he says, therefore, as God's holy people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. We're told we're to take off the old clothes of the flesh and we're to put on the new clothes of Christ's righteousness. That's what it means to dress appropriately. And if we want an intimate relationship with Jesus, we need to be dressed in his righteousness. And we need to be dressed, living in the way, the garments of the new life. And not the carrying on the old way, but putting on those new garments of love, peace, patience, joy, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. So if you want an intimate relationship with Jesus this morning, first make the proper preparation. Make sure that there's no sin in your life, that you've dealt with that, that we're emulating his fragrance, and we're dressed in his righteousness. But second, we need to find the proper place. Naomi says to Ruth in verse 4, once you've made your preparations, notice where he lies down and note the place where he's lying, then go to him, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what to do. Finding the proper place. Christine's fiance found the proper place at the Kaufman Farm, a place that will always be memorable. And here's some beautiful places that some couples found to propose. And I imagine that'd be a nice place to be proposed by the pond or right up on the beach. Some beautiful places there to prepare. The Eiffel Tower, I guess you can't get any more romantic than that. Or New York City and skyline. But preparing and finding the proper place. But when I proposed to Kim, the proper place that I went, we too, was down at Long Level along the river. And it was a place we would often go together when we were dating. And So I went down along the river, and that was the place that I had chosen along level, and that's kind of where the boat ride's going to be. But that was our place. But where is the proper place that we need to be if we want to pursue Jesus? It's at his feet. The proper place for us is to pursue him and to lay at his feet. And that's where Naomi told Ruth to go. Go and lay down at Boaz's feet. And lay there at his feet. That's the proper place to be. And you say, well, that seemed like a strange thing. Why would she instruct Ruth to lay at the feet of Boaz? Why, that seems like a strange request. But in that day, that was communicating something to Boaz that he clearly understood. And as we learn from him, because at his feet is the place where it was a place of submission. And that's a place of a submission. Laying at his feet meant that she was submitting to him. And when we come into the presence of Jesus and lay at his feet, it's a place of submission. We're submitting to him. Jesus, you are my master. You are my Savior. Your will in my life. I'm submitting my life to you. I'm submitting my life to your word. And as we come to his feet and he speaks to us and instructs us in his word and he teaches us and draws us and it gives us his word, it's bringing ourselves into alignment with him and at his feet, the place of submission. And that's the proper place for us to be, lying there in submission to Christ, that his will be lived out in and through us. It was also a place of protection. When she said, put your garments over me and lay at my feet, that was communicating not only submitting to him, but also protection. She was asking for his protection over her. And Jesus, when we are at his feet, he is our protector. He puts his arms around us. His shield is there with us, protecting us from our enemy Satan and protecting us and drawing us close. It's a place of protection, but it's also a place of redemption. Because by laying at his feet, Ruth here was requesting Boaz to take the role to redeem her, to take the role of redemption. And laying at the feet of Jesus, the place of redemption, realizing that he has redeemed us. He has set us free, the place where we find our salvation and our deliverance and our rescue, the place where we find what we need. And it is also a place of instruction. Notice Naomi in the instruction said, when you go there, notice where he's lying, go uncover his feet and he will tell you what to do. And when we come and we go put ourselves at the feet of Jesus in submission, we're submitting ourselves to him. We're putting ourselves under his protection, finding his redemption and what he's done for us, but also receiving his instruction. Listening as he instructs us, and that's where the submission comes back in submitting ourselves to his will and what he instructs us to do. But as we sit at the feet of Jesus, he gives us his instruction. And I can think of no better picture of that than whenever Mary and Martha, whenever Jesus was having invited to Mary and Martha's home and Lazarus, and a meal was held there, and Martha was busy doing all the work of preparing the meal and all the things that had to be done. And they had to do that. Those things had to be done. The house had to be prepared. The meal had to be cooked. Everything had to be served. That had to be. I mean, she was doing what had to be done. But where was Mary? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And it upset Martha. And she come to Jesus and said, tell Mary to help me. I need help. And Jesus said, Martha, you're so busy with doing what you need to, but Mary has chosen the best thing. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing his instruction, hearing his word, receiving from him. And if we want that intimacy with Christ, as we make those proper preparations and we find the proper place, it's sitting at his feet, just listening to him, to his instruction in devotion, and seeking to know him better, and seeking to let him put his protection, his arms around us as we love him. That's where he wants us to be, laying at his feet, receiving his word receiving his love, receiving his instruction. So make the proper preparation. You make the proper, find the proper place. And the third is to have the proper posture. The proper posture, the posture attitude, if we want to have that intimacy with Jesus, our Redeemer. Again, some of the slides here of people proposing the proper posture, if you're going to propose, is to get down on one knee. And they get down on one knee and to the person you're proposing to and offer yourself. But that posture is that posture of trust. In verse 5, Ruth said to Naomi, she said, I will do whatever you say. Now, remember, Ruth was a Moabite. She didn't understand maybe all the customs of the Jewish ways here of a proposal, and it might have seemed strange to her. But yet, she trusted that what Naomi was telling her was for her good. And even though she didn't fully understand it, she trusted. And sometimes God's ways just don't make sense to us at times, do they? Sometimes his communication or his word to us, or what we feel he's leading him to do, or how he's working in our life at times, sometimes just don't make sense. But yet, he calls us with the posture of trusting him. And then trusting him to know that he knows what he's doing. Naomi had a reason for why she told Ruth to do what she did. And Ruth trusted that because she believed that Naomi knew what was best for her and it was in her good interest. And we may not understand everything of God's ways, but we can trust him that he is working everything out for our good and he knows what's best for us. And we can trust him in that. And that's the posture that we have as we come to his feet and see that relationship is that posture of trust. Also, the posture of diligence. Notice what she said in verse 4. She said, well, go down. Notice where he's going at the threshing floor. When you get there, when he lies down, take note or watch where he's going. And take note, be diligent. Watch, pay attention to where he lays down and take note of that and mark the place. In other words, be diligent, be observant. And in our relationship with Christ, as we want to have that intimacy with him, we need to be diligent. We need to take the initiative and meeting with him and opening up the word and spending time with him and spending time with him in prayer and being diligent about that. And taking that initiative in our life if we want to grow closer to him. Because we will only be as close to Jesus as we want to be. And being diligent in pursuing that relationship more and more deeply. As Paul said, that's my goal. He said, I want to know Jesus better every day. And he was diligent about it. And he pursued that and taking note. That posture of diligence, but also a posture of humility. He told her, go down and then lay at his feet. That posture of Jesus, when we come before him and are in the presence of our Savior, we come with humility. We come laying before him, humbling ourselves before him, not demanding anything of him. And Ruth wasn't demanding of Boaz here. She came in humility and laid down before him in that posture of humility. And that same attitude that we have before our Lord of that humility and a posture of obedience. In verse 3 through 6, as she received those instructions, even though they seemed strange to her, it said in verse 5, Ruth said, I will do whatever you say. I'll do whatever you have to say. And so she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law had told her to do. And that if we want to have that intimacy with Jesus, we need to respond with the posture of obedience. So whatever it is he calls us to do, whatever his word instructs us, when we sit at his feet and we receive his instruction, to not only hear that, but to do it. Verse 4, it says that Naomi said, he will tell you what to do. And that obedience involves two things. It involves listening to his word, listening to his instruction. And then it also involves doing it. And that's what Ruth did. She listened to the instruction of Naomi and Boaz, and then she acted on it. James tells us, if we just hear the word of God and we don't do it, he said it's like faith without action. It's meaningless. It doesn't mean anything. It's hearing his instruction. Obedience is the listening, but also the doing and putting into obedience. So God calls us into an intimate relationship with him, our bridegroom, pursuing him in that deeper, more passionate way. How do we do that? Making the proper preparations, finding the proper place at his feet, and having the proper posture. So you can be this morning as close to Jesus as you want to be. And there are some times we may feel like Jesus is distant from us. And when Jesus feels distant from us, it's not Jesus who moved. It's us. And we may have allowed sin to come into our life that has hindered that intimacy, just as David had done for that year. And he lived in that place. And he didn't feel as close to the Lord as he once was until he washed himself again and received that forgiveness. And the intimacy was restored. So you can be as close to Jesus as you want to be. And if you want that passionate relationship with him, pursue him, your bridegroom, with your whole heart. Finding that, making the proper preparations, finding the proper place at his feet, and the proper posture of trust, humility, and obedience. So on a scale of 1 to 10 this morning, just answer this question privately between you and the Lord. You may want to just write a number on your paper. But on a scale of 1 to 10, how intimate are you with Jesus at this moment? Where is your relationship of intimacy with him? On a scale of 1 to 10, are you really close? Do you feel like to be closer to him? Or that it's just not as close as it used to be? Pursuing him and seeking after him. So what steps do you need to take to pursue a more intimate relationship with Christ today? Is there something that you need to have him to forgive you of? Do you need to be more diligent in your pursuit of him and his word and prayer? But whatever it is, maybe an attitude more of humility. For whatever it is you need to do, what step you need to take to pursue him in a more intimate way. That's what God calls us to this morning, our bridegroom, in an intimate relationship with him. Make the proper preparation, find the proper place at his feet, and have that proper posture of trust, humility, and obedience. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that you call us into an intimate relationship with you. You are our bridegroom. You are our kinsman redeemer. You are the one who willingly redeemed us. You are the one who willingly came and gave your life for us because you loved us. And you want us to have that intimate relationship with you. Sometimes, Lord, we come into your presence and we feel distant because we haven't made the proper preparations. We've allowed sin to be unchecked in our life, or we haven't dealt with it. We haven't confessed sin, Lord, against you or someone else, and we haven't made that right. And that breaks the intimacy. And so, Lord, we need to wash ourselves, and thank you that when we do, we confess ourselves, you're holy and just, and faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Lord, that we give off that pleasing aroma and fragrance that is attractive. And Lord, that we dress appropriately in your righteousness and in the garments of the new life, and not still wearing the garments of the flesh, but wearing the garments of the new nature. And Lord, finding that proper place at your feet, where we lay at your feet in submission, and in gratitude and redemption and thanksgiving, and to receive your instruction and to draw close to you. And in that proper posture of obedience and trust and submission to you. And so, Father, may we be diligent in that, in pursuing that intimate relationship with you, because you're eager and you're ready and you want that with us. And so, Lord, may we be diligent in taking that time with you, pursuing that relationship through prayer, your word, worship, many ways that you've given us that we can grow deeper and closer to you. So thank you, Lord, for loving us, for being our kinsman redeemer, and for inviting us into an intimate relationship with you. So, Lord, help us, as Ruth did, to pursue you in an intimate and vital way. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.